Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Every major crime statistic in Denver is down this year, with the exception of the most serious one, homicides. Our Mark Salinger digs into the numbers to provide context to a violent start to the year.
Denver police investigated 3 homicides in the last 4 days, 30 so far this year. The numbers in Denver are up nearly 37% year over year, but context is important.
So if we were seeing an uptick in everything, then I'd say, okay, let's take a pause, see what's going on.
We asked MSU Denver professor and chair of criminal justice and criminology, Andrea Borrego, to help us understand and make sense of the numbers.
Looking at other violent crimes that are in there, so like non-fatal shootings, those types of things, those are going down.
Total crime, non-fatal shootings, property crime, violent crime, burglary, robbery, and auto theft are all down, but homicides are up. At this point in July of last year, there were 22. In 2024, there were 37 through the same time period. 43 in 2023, 52 in 2022, and 43 in 2021. Compare those numbers to 30 so far this year, and we're basically even with the 3-year average and down 18% over the 5-year average year to date.
Crime is down significantly in every crime category with the exception of homicide. And certainly we're concerned about that increase in homicide.
Denver's crime data shows 2025 was one of the safest years in decades when it comes to homicides. Chief Ron Thomas acknowledges this year isn't following the same track.
We understand that a lot of those events are violent incidents that have erupted out of confrontations between individuals, often that are known. And so more difficult, I think, to interrupt, but we still want to continue to study those things.
Numbers help provide that context beyond the headlines.
Numbers can paint you a picture. What explains that picture are the narratives. And where are those homicides happening? Are they clustered? So does that mean something's happening in that community?
Part of those narratives include the time of year. July of last year was the deadliest month for homicides in Denver with 8. This year, we've already seen 4 this month, and we're not even halfway through July. Part of that could be more people are outside, school's out of session. The chief acknowledges that summer is always a time that they prepare for, Kyle.
And Mark, as the criminologist said, sometimes, you'll see them clustered, a couple at a time. What are we seeing?
Yeah, you look at different communities and different communities have different clusters of homicide numbers, for example. Some have large amounts of clusters, others have none at all. The chief says the DPD focuses on specific communities, specific areas in the city to put more resources into and see, hey, is something wrong with the lighting in this area or whatever it might be to try and address those issues.
All right, Mark Salinger, thank you. The small towns impacted by the Aspen Acres fire burning in southern Colorado are gearing up for a long recovery. Evacuation orders have been lifted for some residents this week, even as firefighters say that fire could continue burning for weeks or even months. Some folks in Custer County and the town of Beulah got the news that they've been waiting for this week as evacuation orders were lifted and they were able to return home. Sadly, many of those homeowners are not returning to homes as the fire burned more than 300 of them. The fires covered more than 150 acres, and crews have only been able to contain about a third of its perimeter. But firefighters say there is still a considerable risk for fire growth on the southwest edge of the fire, which is near the town of Rye. The federal incident management team that's been leading the fire response is headed back home today, warning that that fire will likely be burning for quite a while.
This is a long duration event. It's not going to be out before we leave. And like many fires that occur on the Colorado Front Range, they can go well into well beyond today. And many times it's the snow that falls in the wintertime that puts them out.
Firefighters in Rout County are working to keep 2 fires there from exploding into Colorado's next major disaster. The 200-acre Fishhook fire near Steamboat Springs is still burning uncontained. Steamboat Ski Resort brought out the snowmaking guns to wet the ground around the resort to try and keep the fire from spreading there. The Green Ridge Fire, also in Rout County, is much smaller, about 40 acres, and crews are working aggressively to contain that fire because there are about 500 homes and businesses within 3 miles. Luckily, no homes have been damaged so far. Adams County public health leaders are investigating a tuberculosis case at the ICE Detention Center in Aurora, and they say that they're getting stonewalled by that facility as they try to determine whether the disease is spreading. The health department says it has confirmed one, quote, laboratory-confirmed case of active tuberculosis disease. They say this involves the detainee, and they need to carry out a public health investigation to determine if anyone else has been exposed. That investigation would include interviewing patients and reviewing medical records. It would include contact tracing and coordinating testing. Adams County Health says they have requested that access, but they were denied by the GEO Group, the private prison contractor that runs the immigration detention facility. In a statement today, the health department says they've issued a public health order requiring the facility to comply, but so far they haven't been able to complete their investigation and determine the scope of the TB exposures. There are tuberculosis specialists at Denver Health. They told us they have also not been allowed to go speak to GEO staff about tuberculosis testing and care. The GEO Group referred us to an ICE spokesperson who said in a statement, quote, as of today, Aurora does not have any confirmed active tuberculosis cases. That spokesperson said ICE is complying with state and federal guidelines. The Trump administration is dropping its attempts to freeze $10 billion in funding for child care and social services in states led by Democrats. The feds had been claiming, without offering evidence, that there was massive fraud in those states. In early January, the Trump administration announced a freeze on funding for temporary assistance for needy families, TANF. In Colorado, TANF provides temporary cash assistance, job training, and other support to low-income families with children. The freeze also impacted payments to the Child Care and Development Fund, which helps families in need access child care. Colorado gets more than $130 million a year from those federal grants, which serve 14,000 families in our state. The Trump administration claimed that Democrats in five states, including Colorado, were allowing fraud. A judge temporarily blocked Trump's freeze after states sued. Now CNN is reporting the Trump administration is dropping the restrictions on funding and withdrawing its request for information on whether those programs also benefited immigrants in this country without authorization. I'll just say it. I would love to serve on a jury someday. I enjoy judging people, and my life lacks excitement. But I know that some of you have zero interest in jury service and cringe when that jury notice arrives in the mail. So what are the odds of getting called for jury duty anyway? And what are the odds that two people in one family will get called to serve in the same jury pool? Our Marshall Zellinger is doing math.
It was actually really funny.
You see that ticket? It's like winning a lottery for a couple with a daughter named Lottie.
We have a jury summons for the both of us that arrived on the same day.
Jeffrey and Julie Bishop were sent jury summonses with the husband and wife both called for the same date and time, 8 a.m. July 20th. Although one was at the Lindsay Flanagan Courthouse in Denver, the other the City and County Building.
I hadn't been called for jury duty in about 11 years, and to both get them on the same day, it was like, what are the odds?
Probability.
It's not an impossible question to answer, especially for a professor of mathematics who hasn't been called to jury duty in quite some time.
2014 or 2015, so about 10 years ago.
To know the odds, we first need to know some numbers. 145,000 Denver residents get a jury summons each year out of roughly 600,000 residents 18 or older.
145,000 over 600,000 comes out to 0.2416, we could just call it 24%.
24% means one in four Denverites will get called for jury duty each year, but some will get it more often than others.
You get a chance of being selected of 24%, say, each year for the next 10 years. You can calculate the probability that you would not be selected at all over the next 10 years.
Everyone has a 6% chance of never getting a summons over 10 years, about the same odds of getting called five times in 10 years. The highest probability is getting called twice in 10 years, a 28% chance. It's a luck or unluck of the draw, like being a couple who got one for the same date and time.
You would expect married couples who live in Denver to see this all the time, but it doesn't happen. So that's why we're wondering, did something happen here by mistake?
The odds are not that improbable.
Kind of one out of 1,000 neighborhood.
One out of 1,000 for two people in the same household for the same date and time. Jeffrey and Julie could not make Monday's date work anyway, so they both have new summonses for different dates. The list for jury duty is based on DMV records, voter registration, and tax records. Our example was Denver. If you live in one of the state's smaller counties, you might be getting notices every year or two.
You'd serve on a jury, wouldn't you? You'd love that.
I absolutely want to serve on. They would never pick me. I would absolutely want to serve on a
jury. Why wouldn't they pick you? You're
because
a fair,
I just said on TV
guy.
I want to serve on a jury, so you're going to have one of the attorneys say that guy is too excited.
Oh.
Get him out of there.
Oh, yeah, you can't be an eager beaver about those things. They don't want that. Okay. All right, Marshall Zellinger. Interesting story. Thank you. The ongoing drought's a real kick in the bass for Colorado's reservoirs, so the state's angling for the public to fix a crappy situation.
In their own right, burrowing owls are really, really cool, but they're also really important for the overall conservation of the ecosystem.
Small birds, big impact, which is why Westy's going all out to keep humans from harassing them. That's Nest. It's a tough summer to be a fish. Reservoirs all over the state are holding fish-a-thons before the water runs out. So now it's all you can fish at Timnath Reservoir. The town wants to clear out as many fish as possible before the water levels become so critically low in our drought that the fish just die anyway. You'll still need a valid state fishing license, but all bag and possession limits are lifted. The permits usually required for fishing there are also waived, so go get them in Timnath. That emergency fish salvage, as they call it, will remain in effect until Colorado Parks and Wildlife decides it's no longer necessary. Not much relief from the heat in meteorologist Chris Bianchi's Bastille Day forecast.
Merci, Kyle. And by the way, a very, very happy Bastille Day to all of you celebrating Bastille Day here on the 237th anniversary of the storming of the Bastille, and a lot of us celebrating here on the Paris of the South Platte in Denver, Colorado. Going to be about 93 this evening, so show that sick. It's going to be hot and dry this evening here around Denver, about 33, 34 centigrade for all of you actual Parisians celebrating here in the Mile High City. Now, today, in real terms, in Denver, Colorado, it was our 23rd day at or above 90 degrees for us here in Denver. It's going to stay really hot and dry over the next while, thanks to this ridge of high pressure that just really won't go anywhere, and this ridge of high pressure eventually is going to slowly but gradually break down. That'll allow some monsoonal moisture just turtle crawl its way into northeastern Colorado. So Denver, hot, dry, basically all week long, but as that monsoon moisture slowly creeps its way in our direction, as this ridge breaks down, we will start to see some changes by the weekend and early next week. Tomorrow, though, no changes, about 93 for us here in Denver, again, very similar to today. Mountains, though, notably cooler as we start to see more of that monsoon moisture spread into the picture. By the way, more beneficial rain in the high country today, and that 7-day forecast looking pretty toasty over the next few days, with those temps mostly in the mid to upper 90s until we finally cool down and get some beneficial monsoon rain for the early part of next week. Back to you, Kyle.
Voters in November may be asked to approve a tax increase to fund Front Range passenger rail, which we are now supposed to refer to by its fun-friendly brand, COCO, the Colorado Connector. The brand is designed, according to the Passenger Rail District's website, quote, to educate, deter skepticism, build confidence, and inspire. I mean, brand design looks fine. I mean, it kind of looks like Dunkin' Donuts, but that's cool. The fox mascot that they have rolled out feels unnecessary to me, but maybe the fox deters the skepticism from voters wary of more tax hikes. But the over-the-top brand messaging on the passenger rail line is truly something to behold. Can we get the press release reading music, please? COCO is more than a name. It's a brand shaped by Coloradans. It's simple, memorable, and celebrates the idea that we're stronger when connected. Confident and trustworthy, with a fun, lighthearted spirit, COCO draws its personality from the people, places, and unmistakable character of Colorado's Front Range. It goes on. COCO is approachable and full of life while reflecting the serious purpose behind what we're building. What they're building with all that super cringy marketing talk is a serious case of the heebie-jeebies around this train. We get it. It's a train. It's nice. Maybe just come out and tell voters why they should agree to raise everybody's taxes to build it. A family roosting in Westminster is getting some special protections.
We have some VIBs, very important birds.
You can watch the VIBs, but only from a distance. That's Nest. Watch where you step in Westminster. There are these cute little owls there. You don't want to be hiking through a field without looking, and it's like squish hoot, you know? Our Amy Hunter introduces us to some of Westy's new citizens in this latest installment of Nest.
Oh yeah, he's out farther now.
Westminster's open spaces feel like home.
It's flying again.
For Jeff Burek.
Being an ornithologist, I'm a big time morning person, and so I love to be out here before sunrise and watch the sunrise from out here.
For the past few weeks.
That I get to go out and just be in this beautiful place every morning.
He's been watching a new home take shape.
The city has hired me to look for the burrowing owls that were here at Westminster Hills Open Space. I'm here monitoring the nest and hoping to see all of these chicks fledged successfully.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service lists burrowing owls as a threatened species here in Colorado, largely due to habitat loss.
So in the local area here, it's very rare to find a burrowing owl nest that's active and producing chicks.
And this is quite special what we're experiencing here with the burrowing owls.
As the city's parks director, Eric Otzelberger knew steps were needed to protect their space.
The area where the owls are is a pretty high quality short grass prairie area. So we set up a perimeter to have a safe space for the owls to do their hunting, their rearing.
Jeff says keeping the owls safe is a win for everyone.
In their own right, burrowing owls are really, really cool, but they're also really important for the overall conservation of the ecosystem. If we see birds decline, if we see wild spaces disappear, we are going to see ourselves start to disappear more and more.
He hopes the owlets have all the room they need to grow.
We are just trying to make sure that they have the space that they need to properly raise their family safely.
For Next, I'm Amy Hunter.
City told Amy the restricted areas are likely to remain that way through the end of October. Jeff says if anybody happens to see him out there in the morning, come say hi. He's always got an extra pair of binoculars if you want a better look at the little owls. Marilyn, I know you're curious. Mm-hmm. Burrowing owls do fly, but they are less efficient flyers. They're not as good at it.
Okay, why?
And well, because they're developed for the ground, but they've got these big, strong legs. Like,
oh.
I mean, just, yeah,
okay.
Some real
All
pythons,
right.
You know? So they've got those, and then, but they can fly if they need to.
Okay, good to know.
Okay.
Long distances, just a little flutter?
Just a little, no, they can get it done.
Okay.
They can get it done.
All right, yeah. Good to know.
Back with your feedback next. The most Colorado thing we saw today is life imitating art in conifer. A viewer named Kathy sent us this photo of the water feature in her backyard. That's cool, little bear figurines all over, made for some very effective camouflage last week when an actual bear decided to stop by and hang out with it. That is pretty cool. If you see something that looks like Colorado to you, send it our way. Email to next@ninenews.com or text us at 303-871-1491. Tons of feedback on the Front Range Passenger Trail's jaunty new branding as Coco, the Colorado Connector. Ross says, Coco's marketing is caca. But Elle said, I like the Coco brand. A little positivity is a good thing. Woody and Golden, how much did that creative pablum exercise cost taxpayers? And Frank, what warranty will taxpayers get that this will not be over budget and 75 years to complete, like Fast Tracks? That's why they gotta name it Coco and bring out the fox, Frank, so you don't think of Fast Tracks. Look at the fox.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@ninenews.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.